morning and welcome everyone to the 2015-16 Transmission Planning Process continuation call to our February 18th meeting. I'm Kim Perez, I'm with the ISO Stakeholder Process Group, and I will be facilitating our call this morning. I'm also joined by Neil Miller, Jeff Billington, Yi Zhang, and Xusheng Liu. And as many of you are aware, we abruptly had to stop our February 18th meeting due to a network issue with our service provider. So we are back to finish and wrap up those topics that were discussed late in the day on the 18th. This is our agenda for this morning. Xusheng will go directly to his observation slides from his presentation on the large-scale energy storage special study. We will take your questions and comments after that. And then Yi Zhang will discuss the economic planning study final recommendation. As a reminder, if you do have any questions or comments this morning, you can enter the queue by selecting #2 on your telephone keypad. And so with that, I will turn the call over to Xusheng to start his observation.
Thank you. Good morning. Today we'll start from where the presentation was cut off last week. So we talked about the assumptions of the study and the results of study. Today we'll start with the conclusion, or we call it observation, because there are a lot of places in the study that can be further refined or improved. So from the study, we observe some very interesting facts. First, the study was based on the 2014 CPUC LTPP preceding 40% RPS in 2024 scenario. This 14% RPS portfolio is what we call the solar dominant, which has 53%. In installed capacity. This does not count between 4,000 to 5,000 megawatt distributed PV. So when we look at the overbuild that is needed to achieve the 40% RPS target, because in the 40% scenario we allow curtailment, so there was not a that small portion of the renewable was curtailed. Therefore, we did not meet the 40% RPS target. In order to achieve that target, we need to build additional renewable. So in this study, we tried to identify how much additional renewable is needed. So we build additional solar or wind. We try to establish two bookends. The study identified that if we build more purely wind, that would increase the share of a wind installed capacity from 29% up. That additional wind increases the diversity of the RPS portfolio, so it becomes less, even though still the solar dominant is less dominant than the original portfolio. This diversification actually shields the benefit because it requires less overbuild than solar to achieve the 40% RPS target. And it also produces less CO2 emission and has lower production costs than solar overbuild. This is because, as we discussed last week, this is because of the specific shapes of the solar and the wind generation. Solar generation is concentrated in the middle day. In the 40% RPS scenario, we had 822 hours with renewable curtailment already. When we build more solar on top of that, the additional solar of at least the 822 hours won't be utilized. But with wind generation is spread out across all the almost all the hours of the day, And you know, it actually has an even higher generation in the early morning and in the late evening than in the middle day. Therefore, for those hours in the early morning and in late evening, the energy is fully utilized because there was no curtailment there. And also, for those hours, the additional wind energy displaces the generation from a thermal resource that was needed before the overbuild was put in. Therefore, it reduced the cost and reduced the emission of the whole system. So that's the first observation, is the benefit of a more diversified RTS portfolio. Next slide. So now when we look at the bulk energy storage, which is, in this study, we use a 500 megawatt pump storage resource. This pump storage resource brought benefits to the system in all the cases that the pump storage resource is added. So there is a case that we did not have overbuild of renewable, and the pump storage lower the CO2 emission, lower the production cost, and lower the curtailment. Lower curtailment means that the portion of renewable energy was not utilized in the 40% scenario, and what now is utilized with the pump storage helps. And when we put overbuild into the system, the pump storage also help to reduce the curtailment, reduce the CO2 emission, reduce the production cost. So this is the benefit that we see in all the cases. And another observation is about the pump storage, how well it works with solar or with more diversified RTS portfolio. Pump storage works best if there is curtailment, the volume of curtailment is closer to its maximum capacity or is even greater than its maximum capacity. Because when we have a curtailment, the price goes to -$300 in the model. So if there, for example, the 500 megawatt pump storage generation capability, it has 600 megawatt pumping capability. So if there is a 100 megawatt renewable curtailment, the price is -$300. But if the pump storage pumps more than 100 megawatt, that means the curtailment is gone, and then the energy price increases from -$300 to the positive side. So that means because the energy is charged by the marginal market clearing price. So that means at this moment, every single megawatt hour energy the pump storage uses will be charged at the positive price. So therefore, it's most likely the pump storage is going to just pump that amount of energy is curtailed. So if you only 100 megawatt, you pump 100 megawatt, then you have a 600 megawatt capability. You are not fully utilized. So that means you won't be able to move as much energy as you could from the hours with the curtain to the hours in the late evening or in early morning of the next day to be utilized. So that is a situation that when we have a solar dominant RTS portfolio, the curtailment volume is higher. So the number of hours that the pump storage is fully utilized, which means that it has a curtailment close to 600 megawatt or even greater than 600 megawatt. The number of hours is larger than that with wind overbuild, which means with a more diversified RTS portfolio. Therefore, the pump storage is better utilized. if you, you know, look at the result of the slide we have about the production cost, about the curtailment, about the overbuild needed, the pump storage put in, it has more reduction of those costs, emission overbuild needed with a solar overbuild than with the wind overbuild. So this is a two-sided story. Overall, wind overbuild brought brings more benefit to the system. But if you just look at the pump storage itself, the pump storage itself brings more benefit if the RTS portfolio is actually more solar dominant. Next slide. And so this comes down to that is the benefit the pump storage bring to the system. But what about the pump storage itself? It's a financial feasibility. So this all depends on many other assumptions or factors. For example, what's the cost of the storage versus the cost of solar and the wind, and also the mix of RPS or renewable resource, which is pretty much the RPS portfolio. However, the DGPV is not a part of the RPS portfolio, but it does affect the value of the pump storage. Also, the renewable curtailment price. Like I said earlier, in this study, we assume that the renewable curtailment price is negative $300 per megawatt hour. So whenever a curtailment happens, the market curtailment price drops down to negative $300 per megawatt hour. So for each megawatt hour the pump storage uses, the pump storage gets paid for $300 per megawatt hour instead of going to cost it. So it pays $300 to use the energy, and then when the energy is moved to the later hours, and the energy could be sold to the market at $50. So then for this, just the arbitrage, the pump storage is going to make $350 per megawatt hour. However, if that curtailment price is reduced, they change it to the negative $150. That's the current ISO bid floor price. Then the value of the pump storage will be cut almost by half. And there are other assumptions that can affect the pump storage. Because the pump storage is pretty much, besides moving energy around, it has a flexibility. It's a very flexible, very fast, can provide help in the ramping time, and can provide the entry service and the low falling. However, if the fleet itself is pretty fast, and so the flexibility of the pump storage might not stand out, so might not earn as much market revenue for this resource than the other. If this fleet is completely inflexible, then the pump storage is going to contribute a lot more in the ramping time and in providing answer service and no falling. And also the distributed energy resource, that is one area that has not been studied that much, but that side of the development would affect the bulk energy storage resource too. So I believe that's the last slide I have today, but if you have, there is a lot of information in the fourth slide that was posted last week. There is one last slide on the fourth slide. There is a table of all the results. It has a lot of information there. And I got some questions from email. It seems like some of the questions can actually find the answer in the table. So that's my presentation. So now I'm open for questions.
Okay, great. If you have any questions or comments for Xusheng, you can enter the queue by selecting pound 2. Please remember to state the name and the company that you represent before asking your question. And Xusheng, it looks like nobody is queuing up at this time.
Okay. So I'll stay online, and so in case of the question comes up, I can answer it.
Fantastic. Thank you, Xusheng. Okay, with that, we will move on to our next presentation from Yi Zeng. Take it away.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. My name is Yi Zhang. I'm going to present the economic planning study final recommendation today. Next slide. This slide pretty much is where we are slide. Today we are in the final phase for the economic planning study for the final study results. It's not too long ago, in last November stakeholder meeting, we just presented the preliminary study results for the economic planning study. Between these two stakeholder meetings, we had three very busy months to update the production cost model and rerun simulations, evaluate study requests to come up with the final study results, which we are going to go through in detail today. Next slide. First, let's see the major changes in the production cost modeling since last stakeholder meeting. We modeled additional contingencies, which identified in reliability and the policy studies in this planning cycle, in 2015-2016 planning cycle. And we also updated contingency models with SPIs, as identified in operating procedures and the reliability and the policy study. In addition to that, we modeled a new approved ISO management approved project, Panushi to Araloma 115 kV upgrade. With all of these new upgrades, we rerun the production cost simulations for 2020 and the 2025 study years to get the new congestion results. Although the individual numbers for the cost and the duration may change from the preliminary study results we presented in the last stakeholder meeting, the overall congestion pattern remain the same. Next slide, please. So, in addition to the production simulation for the congestion analysis, we evaluated the economic planning study requests we received and accepted in 2015-16 planning cycle. In the last stakeholder meetings, we briefly described the nine study requests we have accepted, and we evaluated all of them since the last stakeholder meeting, based on the ISO tariff section 24.3.4.1. The detailed evaluation results can be found in the transmission plan report with the posted. Although I didn't include the detailed evaluation results here, I do recommend that the stakeholders, especially the developer stakeholders who submit the study request or would submit study request to read the section in the transmission plan report. From there, you can get some idea about what we are going to look at the study request when we evaluate them. And I believe that will help you to prepare your study request next time. So combining the concession results and the evaluation of the study request, we get the high priority study in the 2015-16 planning cycle. Because, as I mentioned earlier, the overall congestion pattern didn't change from the last stakeholder meeting, and none of those study requests we evaluated has been deemed as a high priority. So the final high priority studies are the same as in the last stakeholder meeting. Still, Part 26, Ice Tracker, POI to Rio Oso, and Part 15, and the POI conventions. Next slide. So in the next couple of slides, I will go through the detailed assessment for the high priority studies. First, we look at the Part 26 and the Part 15 conventions. The reason I put these two conventions in the same slide, there's a number of reasons. First, both these two conventions are recurring conventions. We observe them in previous planning cycles. And also, we performed detailed analysis for these two conventions in previous planning cycles when we observe them. But we didn't see economic justification for network upgrades to mitigate these two conventions. Also, we didn't see significant change in system model around these two conventions. And the congestion cost and the duration of these two conventions, no significant change from previous planning cycles. So we concluded that we would not do detailed production simulation and the economic analysis for these two concessions in this planning cycles, and will not recommend any upgrades. But we will monitor these two concessions and may assess them again in the future planning cycles. The next slide is for X-Tracker and the Paul to Rio Oso concessions. We put them together in the same page, same slide, because both concessions are in hydro-rich areas. Our original thought was if we mitigate the two concessions, we will get higher access to hydro resource. Now that would give us, at least give us some benefit to the ISO repair. But the detailed evaluation, including production calculation and the economic assessment, the results didn't support that. So we didn't see enough economic benefit to ISO repair with any mitigation. So we would not recommend any upgrade in this planning cycle for these two concessions, but we'll monitor them and may assess them again in the future planning cycle. The last high priority study, but definitely not least, is a COI concession. We rank COI concession as a high priority in this planning cycle mainly because we observed the congestion cost increase from the last planning cycle. Although the congestion cost under the incremental part are not material comparing with any potential, comparing with the cost of any potential upgrade. Still, we gave a close look at the COI congestion in this planning cycle. We model Swipe North project a study request in the production cost model. The reason we selected this is selected Swipe North project is because it provides a parallel path to COI, and it can be a alternative of the mitigation. The simulation results was not surprising. The project didn't bring sufficient benefit to the ISO ratepayers. So the conclusion for core convention studies, we would not recommend any upgrades in this planning cycle, but we'll reevaluate in the future planning cycle. The next slide is my last slide. In summary, in 2016 planning cycle, we do not recommend any economic upgrade for approval. Still, we do have a list of several tests and related projects to be monitored and maybe to be assessed in future planning cycles. When we assess them again, we will take several things into account which could potentially impact the study results. For example, in Type C Common Case 2026, which will be available at the end of March, there will be improved hydro modeling. Definitely that will impact the almost everything, economic displays, power flow pattern, congestion pattern. And also we will consider some suggested changes to the ISO economic modeling. And obviously, it is important for us and for the economic planning study to have a further clarity on the 50% renewable energy goal. So with that, we conclude my presentation. We can take some questions.
Great. If you have any questions on the material that's presented, you can enter the queue by selecting #2 on your telephone keypad. And it looks like we do have a hand raised. Robert Jenkins, hearing, can we please go to the line?
Robert, go ahead. Your line is unmuted.
Yes, this is Robert Jenkins. I had a couple questions. One dealt with the summary of the congestion that you found. I see that Exchequer went down quite a bit from what was found last November, as well as PG&E LCR went down quite a bit, yet the Delavan Cortina increased quite a bit. Are all these changes due to the three factors you identified on, I think it was slide 9, where these modeling changes in the SPS and the, are these the primary drivers for these changes?
Yes, yes. For the PGA LCR, the reason that congestion that aggregated many several congestions related was included, but one of those is Panucci to Araloma. We modeled that upgrade, and that congestion went away, so the congestion cost of PG&E LCR reduced. For the Delavan Cortina, we modeled a new contingency and for identified in the reliability study, so that congestion increase. And all of those changes together, they change the LMT and change the flow, power flow a little bit, and so Exchequer congestion also changed.
Okay. Okay, thank you. And the second question was, what sort of changes in the economic in the slide you have currently on the screen, what sort of changes in the economic modeling are you envisioning for the next cycle?
There will be several things. We have been discussed internally and externally with the stakeholders regarding the transmission constraints, also like transmission right, contract pass, those things we're going to consider. And also on the economic assessment side, we may need some clarification on the benefit calculation and maybe also the cost, the revenue revenue requirement calculation. On basically on both production simulation model and the economic assessment process, so we may consider some changes.
Okay. One of the things I'm wondering is with these changes, if they have significant change in the overall modeling, this and the hydro modeling changes, and how that might
hydro modeling currently in the current Type C common case, we use 2005 hydro profile and shape, and which is consistent with load and renewable PV and wind, all of those hourly resources and load, we use 2005 shape. In the new Type C common case for 2026, we're going to use 2009 shape for load and renewable, but for hydro, I think there would be a combination of 2009 and 2008, especially for Northwest. But we have not seen the Type C common case yet. We will see that at the end of March. Once we get that, we will test it to see how much impact would be on the extension.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for the question, Robert. Curran, I believe Julia is next in the queue.
Julia, go ahead. Your line is unmuted.
Thank you. I'm Julia Prochnik, and I'm with Natural Resources Defense Council. And I would like a little bit more definition around the last point on this slide, the further clarity on the 50% renewable energy goal. Specifically, what kind of clarity are you looking for?
It's Jeff here. One, as we're moving forward, the work with regards to the portfolios that would be included, and as we've indicated, and in our draft study plan for next cycles, we're still doing and working with CPUC on special study in the 50%, and a lot of the work that we've done in the 50% study is based upon production simulation as well. So we're working through some of those through the planning cycle.
And when will those results be presented? Will they be before the next quarter, or do you think?
Well, the 50% special study that was a part of the 2015-16 was presented at the last stakeholder meeting and included in the transmission plan. As we move forward into the 16-17, we have a stakeholder meeting on Monday with regards to the study plan. We'll be looking at the special studies going forward, and more discussion on that on Monday.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for the question, Julia. We do have one more caller to you. Can we go to David Oliver, please?
Yeah. David, your line is unmuted.
Hi, thank you. Yes, I'm David Oliver. I'm with Navigant. On the previous slide, you mentioned you'll be reexamining COI congestion in future planning cycles. You mean that you'll be reexamining it just in the standard economic planning process, or that you will be doing some special examination specifically for COI congestion?
Firstly, we will follow the economic planning process. We run product simulation and see the condition. And definitely, we would look at the modeling, including the hydro modeling in Northwest and Northern California. And we also look at the coin nomogram and related contingencies, all of those things. We'll have to follow the process.
Yeah, and that'll be as a part of the 2016-17 transmission planning process, similar to as to this year. We'll be rolling out the study plan on stakeholder meeting on Monday, but that has typically where we present preliminary results of the economic in the November stakeholder meeting.
Thank you.
David? Do we have any additional or further questions before moving on? If so, you can enter the queue by selecting #2. Okay, that brings us to next steps. I do want to say that the material presented on February 18th and the material this morning, your comments are due on that material for both days by March 3rd at regionaltransmission@kso.com. From there, our target date for posting the revised draft 2015-16 transmission plan is March 17th. From there, we will go to the board and present the revised draft plan March 24th, 25th. And our target posting for the final 2015-16 transmission plan is later than March 28th. So if I have no additional questions for Shusheng or Ji, then I will go ahead and conclude today's call. I would like to thank everybody for their participation and their patience, you know, with the February 18th meeting and joining us today. It is much appreciated. And I'll go ahead and conclude the call. So thank you very much, and we'll see you on Monday, February 29th, for the 2015 transmission planning meeting. Thanks, and have a good day.